welcome to the Lunacy Chronicles. Euros fever is gripping the nation, and me, Ollie and Billy are lightheaded with optimism. Today we're discussing our favourite kits, songs and memories of following England during major tournaments. What's your favourite kit, Ollie?
Thanks, Jordan, for handing over to me first. My favourite England football kit, I think, has to be Euro 2004. I just think it's beautiful. Wayne Rooney looked fit in it. The only time in his career he did look fit. I don't mean fit as in, you know, nothing wrong with it.
Gordon Henderson is so fit.
Exactly, that's the way I meant it, yeah. It backed me up. Just 2004, I think it was brilliant. Obviously, least favourite Euros England kit was 2008. 2012 was awful. Whoever designed that kit should be shot. Anyway. I hand over to Billy. Billy, do you want to go?
Yeah. I put a few down, and Euro 2004 was one of mine. I've got a lot of away kits in me because I love, you know, that trend we had sort of we had the obviously 1960s away kit was all red. Euro 2004 and World Cup 1998, they were red away kits, kind of dark red. The 98 was checkered. It's got that kind of silver numbers. Oh, I love it. And then you've got kind of the gold generation, Lampard, Gerrard, Scholes in it. World Cup 1998, I put especially because it's checkered dark red, which I love, and it's collared. And I do like collared.
Beautiful.
I say. I've got the World Cup 2022 in there, the home kit. I like the centre badge, the red numbers. I thought it was a good home kit. And our current away kit. I actually really like our current away kit.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's not red. It's not collared. You know, it's not checkered, but it's a purple that I'm actually on board with. So
Do you like the badge on the back of it?
The badge
on the back of it.
Let's not get into that. Fuck's
sake. Yeah, I really like those kits.
Good.
I like your kits. What about yours, John?
I put down my favourite kits are 2002 because it's like my first memory of an England kit. 2006. Which is quite similar. And also 2018. So no Euros ones. I'm talking about the home kits. Great. I think there was...
Nice spread.
There was one, was it 2013 away kit, which you had, Ollie, which was really... I think it was my favourite kit I've ever seen, ever.
Which one's that?
It's the one where Rooney scored that goal against Brazil, in Brazil.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
gold badge.
I think that's my favourite kit I've ever seen, ever.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's nice.
Let me go back to that. I thought we were just doing Euro football kits. Sorry, I should have looked at the notes or taken the notes properly. I'll openly admit now I'm going off my head. 2018.
This is the Lunacy Chronicles.
2018 kit is my favourite. Hands down my favourite. I thought when was Euros 2004, but overall 2018, that 2013 away kit, yeah, they're both stunning. I love the two kits we've got going into this tournament.
Yeah.
Would look great with the trophy.
Yeah, it does look very good. Right. Ollie, what's your favourite song?
Favourite song? It's Three Lions, isn't it? The original 96.
All right, we're done. Best memories.
But what I'm going to add on to that, didn't they redo it for the 1998 World Cup?
Yeah, it's pretty poor.
Yeah. That was nowhere near as good.
And that fucked up. I reckon they were thinking, right, here we go, a bit of cash every tournament now. We just change the lyrics a little bit. But I think that song done so bad that they left it. But then they've done another one for the World Cup winter. And... Yeah. I really like that one. But the original's great. And then the only other one is World in Motion.
Yeah, it's a very good song. Got a little lovely bit of rapping in there. Billy's favourite.
Yeah, I love all of that.
Yeah, I heard Billy.
No, I got
tune viewers.
What about you, Billy?
Yeah, in preparation for this recording, I went through all of the Euro songs. How much I care about you, listeners, because it was tragic. And Three Lions is kind of comfortably the best. World in Motion, a World Cup song, but I do love it. I toss and turn which I prefer between them both for the England song. The only one of note that I thought was quite good, and I recognised it and didn't realise it was a Euro official song, was This One's For You, which is by David Guetta and Zara Larsson, which was the official Euro 2016 song. And
And
it's actually not bad.
Yeah, I remember that.
I can't remember how it goes, but I've got it written down. But I listened to it and thought, oh yeah, I know that one.
Yeah.
The others were absolutely, I mean, diabolical, just horrendous.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think, but I mean, Three Lions is just song of the country.
It is, yeah.
Can't beat that.
It's a national anthem, isn't it?
Mm.
My favourite, Three Lions is my favourite on World in Motion, but I also have a special place in my heart for the 2010 song with Dizzy Rascal and James Corden. Shout. Let it all out. Come on, England. These are the things I could... Yeah, remember that one?
You know this is why we don't...
No, I don't know. Can you keep going a bit more?
Come on. I'm talking to you. What are your favourite memories, Ollie?
It will be 2018 Trippier free kick, Harry Kane last minute goal. Was it Panama? It was Panama, wasn't it?
Why do you keep talking about the World Cup? What is going on here? What is this podcast all about?
It's just, I said at the start, Billy, I said following England during major tournaments.
Well, I feel cheated. I have just picked. I am in the Euros fever. You go. Well, to be fair, that was. Yeah. All right. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. Go on, Ollie. Give us some World Cup flavour. I'll stick to the Euros. Give us the World Cup.
Yeah. Flavor. All right. So, favorite memories. Right. If I can continue now. So 2018. Didn't we watch that game together? The second group game?
Panama, yeah.
It was Panama, yeah. I mean, yeah. Austria, we have smiled so much during that game. Whole tournament, like every game.
Dancing on the streets.
I was so nervous. Yeah, I was so nervous for the Colombia game. You two went out, didn't you, to watch it? And I was meant to come with you. I was so nervous. I felt so ill. I watched it in bed. And felt a lot better after. Like that, I genuinely was that angry about the game. Obviously, yeah, Trippier's free kick, watching the Sweden game. So, yeah, that whole 2018 World Cup. Euros was absolutely amazing until we decided to go down Wembley Way, Jordan, didn't we? And
yeah.
We thought it was going to be a party atmosphere. Turned into like, I don't even know the correct way to describe it.
I felt like I was in Gdansk.
And yeah, just Euros. And then last World Cup, I think we played really well against France. It was unlucky, but yeah. But it's got to be Trippier's free kick, isn't it?
Yeah, so you've got a lot of recent memories.
That's about it, isn't it?
Just want to make that clear. I just
Rooney, to... Iceland, boom.
Yeah. All right, Billy.
Wow.
Favorite memories?
I think I got two. I think my... I'd say my favourite of the Euros is probably Shaw's goal against Italy in 2020.
Yeah.
Just first 5 minutes. Drinks were flying. Something, the game just died. So we just had the drinks and they were all over the place. Let's go back to the bar. It was just unbelievable, that feeling. And then for me, my own little personal one, I had my A-level exam in 2016. And I got home just in time. I rushed home for the last half an hour of England against Wales.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in the living room, just watching it by myself. And I've never screamed harder than Sturridge scored that goal.
Yeah.
That was satisfying.
My dog was running about. It was unbelievable. But I think that goal particularly has a special memory in my heart for me.
Yeah.
If in terms of other tournaments as well, what was I going to say? Dyer's penalty against Colombia. Running out on the street. Winning that penalty shootout. Just felt like a national curse had been lifted. That existed before our time.
Yeah.
And that moment of running out on the street, everybody celebrating that sort of national unity that you had in that summer. I think that was just the top of it. That was the cherry on the cake. That
it was a release.
It was a release. That's exactly what it was. I was fucking strangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, really was.
In the video you sent me of you guys there, I could still hear your scream, Billy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could have said anything, honestly.
We both just looked at each other and said, Eric Dyer. And then we just walked off in different directions.
Eric Dyer. What about you, John? I'm guessing that's up there for you, is it?
Yeah, I've got written best memories. I've got written Euro 2020 or 2021 and World Cup 2018 because I understand the different arguments and people going on about, thinking we should be winning with the squad we've had recently and things like that. But I just think people need to remember that how bad it was before Southgate and how, lucky we are, I think, to have had these memories now that we have. Because my dad, for years, all he went on about was 1990. That was all he had to cling on to.
96, how to take a penalty properly. Yeah, 98, not being hot-headed, being cheated out of things for years. Well, feeling like being cheated out of things for years. Yeah.
I listened to an interview someone had, and they were talking about the effect of Italian 90 and how if you followed football in the 80s and in the late 70s, you had a good kind of estimation that you thought that football might die in Britain.
Like
attendances were going down, the stadiums were crumbling. People weren't caring anymore. Yeah, like there was a hooliganism problem. And Italian 90 completely changed that. And I think that sort of World Cup 2018 was the first time we kind of had a memory like that.
Definitely.
That's 26 years.
But for me, obviously, I remember 2010 where, the goal didn't stand and that hurt for a while and it felt like it was like a curse against us and all that. But in reality, we absolutely got battered and we had some shocking players and that. And I remember people saying, oh,
Matthew England were
embarrassing that we favourites in that World Cup. 2012, if it weren't for Gerrard, we would have been out in the group. 2014, didn't get out of the group. Obviously, 2016, it was just years and years of this. And then 2018, it was the first time we actually played football, actual nice football in a tournament. And you say, if it weren't for Gareth Southgate and what he's putting out, I'm sick of people who don't know anything about football saying Southgate out. It's just absolutely disgraceful that people actually think Southgate's not the man for the job.
He's the best man for the job we've had for a long time. But I don't think he's the ideal man for the job. I think there are a lot of better managers out there.
Of course, but he's perfect for that role. We need someone in number two, maybe with a better, the football inside of it, maybe. But in terms of what he's done, got us playing football, got us believing that we actually got a decent team again.
If you could, out of interest, if you could take Mourinho on a tournament loan, he comes in right now, you wouldn't take it.
Mourinho?
To win a tournament, I would have Mourinho in now for the tournament. Definitely.
If you'd have said Guardiola or Klopp.
No, because Guardiola needs time. You've got to kind of prep with his football. I just want someone to come in who's a bit... He's got that sort of edge to kind of,
Are you talking about Mourinho 20 years ago?
Even now.
He was pretty bad for us.
I think...
Well, he got us to the final.
All the followers.
You are Ollie cutting out, but...
I think Billy's just lost all our followers.
Oh.
Well, at least the international listeners might know who Mourinho is. Southgate's just known for his bloody, cardigan and waistcoat. So. What about your worst memory, Ollie?
I've used saying Mourinho in over Southgate. I think that's one of the worst England that's a tough one, isn't it? I think any of the tournaments, I think I really took the Lampard ghost goal badly. I took that one really bad. Obviously, I was young then, so I didn't really do much. And as I said, everyone was saying about how England's going to do brilliant and we were shocking. We, like, if you look at the squad, it's embarrassing. But obviously, if we went out losing 3-0 and it, like, it, there was no controversy, I think I wouldn't have felt so bad. But then with that added on top of it, you know, the most obvious goal ever. Yeah, that was pain. That was painful. So that's probably one of my worst memory. It was the first time I was old enough to realise how much it hurts.
Yeah, that was a pretty awful one, yeah. What about you, Billy?
I don't think it can get worse than Iceland 2016.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
that for me is the absolute... It combines sort of disappointment with embarrassment.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Say we're like a Lampard one. You feel disappointed, but what helps it along is the feeling of something's been taken away from you. It wasn't your fault.
We were cheated.
You know, we were cheated. You know, right? So the anger can kind of help you get through. But there's no excuse for that Iceland 2016. I mean, that was just...
Oh, but I'm actually grateful for that, though.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah.
Sometimes you got to go through these things.
I think you're right.
But I'm grateful we lost the other night to them again.
I think it was tough, kid. Wake up. It was on the back of that result that they decided, right, we've got to completely change the academy system, build St. George's Park up. And that maybe has led to the good times now. If you keep having kind of average times, you don't change anything. If you have a really bad time, you have to do something about it.
True.
And maybe that actually was a positive in the end.
I think the only other one for me in my lifetime is going out, not qualifying, sorry, in 2008.
That was there for me as well.
How that team didn't qualify for a tournament is absolutely mental. So,
Wally with the
Broly.
Yeah.
Who qualified in front of us?
Croatia?
Yeah.
And who?
I think there's only one then.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't the extra. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's pretty poor. Because Croatia wasn't strong at that time, were they? That was like Modric in, but they didn't have like a few of the other decent players. Did they at that point?
Nico Krenča.
Yeah,
exactly.
This is just before their golden generation kind of started. Yeah.
Was pretty bad. Right. So, on to predictions for this Euros. Who have you. Who do you think is going to do quite well, Ollie?
You're probably going to hate my answers because it's quite neutral. You always got like your Germany, Spain, Italy, France, Croatia will be strong. Hope I haven't missed anyone off that list. So Portugal. Portugal, I saw this thing the other day about the stats since Martinez has come in. It's like, I think they're the most dangerous team. Like the amount of goals they've scored compared to the amount of goals they've conceded. It's like ridiculous, and they played some good teams in that time. So yeah, any of them teams will be strong. Like Germany, I think, will most likely have a really good tournament. Are Belgium there?
Yeah.
Not
so sure about them. Now I've said that, they're probably going to go win it. But yeah, and obviously, I'll put England in that top category. I think there's like a top, I think about eight. I didn't count the amount of teams I said there. But about the top eight, England are in there, all the other ones are in there. But from what I've seen, I think Portugal could be like a bit of a dark horse.
Yeah. I feel like you might have taken that out of Billy's suggestion. Who do you think is going to do well,
Billy? Yeah, in terms of doing well that people aren't talking enough about, I have the potential to win the tournament. Yeah, I have Portugal as well. I think they've just got an absolute insane squad. Their squad depth is just unbelievable. I think they're less encumbered by having such a central figure of Ronaldo up top. They're kind of more, they play more of a team, I think, now. And the squad depth is unbelievable. In terms of other teams that I've got as kind of dark horses to do well, they're never going to win it. But to keep an eye on, Albania.
Yeah.
They've got very, very good size. They've topped their qualifying group. They beat Poland. Send them to the playoffs. They had a really good record in the last year. They've got Silvinho, ex-Arsenal manager in. Ex-Arsenal player.
Yeah.
Manager in. I think they'll have a good tournament. Hungary, I think, have a very easy group. Hungary are going to come second in their group comfortably. And then they play second of group B, which is quite a tough group. So they're going to have a tough game, but I think they could potentially get past that and maybe, you know, surprise some people. So I think that's probably my kind of dark horse side.
Yeah, I've heard Hungary. What about you, John?
I think Hungary have been knocking on the door for a while, haven't they? They've done well in the past few tournaments and always made a good game of it. I actually think I think Germany are going to do a lot better than people think. I'm worried about them. I think Belgium now that they've lost a lot of their superstars,
they're past their prime now. Belgium,
they're past their prime, but. Well, like when we played them the other day, they looked like more of a team. The other month. They looked like more of a team. And I don't know whether, you know, before they had too many superstars. So that might help them. But, number one I'm worried about, and they won 3-0 yesterday, is Serbia.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Serbia are going to be tough.
Battered Sweden yesterday. Yeah, with a prime Kulusevski in there. So... That's gonna be a tough game. Denmark as well. You know, it's another team that got to the semi-final last time. They always seem to do well.
Former Euros winners.
Yeah, they always seem to do well. So yeah, there's a few teams. I think this is a really tough Euros to win and to call as well.
It could be one of several.
I mean, like, I hate when people go, oh, England should get out of the group. But you have no right to say that. You have no right to say that because, especially when England are the talks, it's to be the best in maybe the favourites. You know, Serbia just beating England or Denmark just beating England or Slovenia just beating England. Like, they will happily go home and go, oh, yeah, we beat one of the favourites. So even if they get knocked out early. So no matter who England play or if you're Germany, no matter who you play, because you're one of the biggest sides, it's going to be an awfully tough game.
Just to mention them, how do we think Scotland are going to do?
I think quite well.
What defines quite well?
I think they'll give it a good game. But I think they'll give them a good game. Like, I can see, it being one of them, because it's their first tournament in a while, that they'll just have that, like, upbeat energy and give them a good game. They could like, squeeze out the group as a third place team.
Yeah.
Could.
Yeah,
I think Scotland are coming bottom of their group. I don't think they're winning a single game.
You don't think they're going to scrape the third place?
They got Germany, Hungary, and Switzerland, and I think all three are better than them. Switzerland, they'll have a game again.
Oh yeah,
I still think Switzerland will get through past them.
Isn't that Hungary.
First game is Germany, Scotland. Yeah, I can't see Scotland doing anything in that tournament.
This Friday.
It's not long, mate. Yeah, not long.
Not long.
That's why we're doing this podcast, Ollie. Right. I've just added another little group as we've still got 7 minutes, another little topic. England starting 11.
I mean, I'm happy with whatever Southgate does because I've got full belief in him. But I'm going
for a Southgate for winter.
I'm going Pickford, Walker, Stones. Gaye, is that his name?
Yep.
Yeah.
Left back will be Shaw when he's back, but I'll still play him, even played in a while. I think in the meantime, I think Cons has been playing left back, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot this season.
Trippier played left back in the Iceland game.
Last two games, didn't he? Yeah.
He's poor.
So I would play Cons left back while Shaw's not there. But Trippier, I can't argue with it. You know, he's been there for England for the last three tournaments as well. I'm playing Rice, Holding. I'm playing Bellingham as an 8. I'm putting Foden in as a 10. And then I'm playing Palmer one side, Saka the other side, Kane up top.
Very attacking. What do you think, Billy?
You can't leave Foden or Palmer out. If they're not playing well, then put them off Eze and Gordon or whoever on. But yeah.
You make any changes to that, Billy?
I think generally that sounds pretty good. I think I would. I think I might change it up depending on the type of side we're playing. I do worry about. I always thought Foden. Right? I always thought Foden
great option. He's so technical, he can break down sort of low block sides. But every time I've seen him recently, last five games or so, which has been the case, he gets the ball, he can't take a man on, he just turns around and passes it back. And that worries me.
That's the Man City way.
That worries me a lot. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think we've really, really missed Harry Maguire.
Massively.
I put us at kind of in my list of kind of, because we had a category of you know, who do we think are favourites. I put us as four because I just think our defence is just not good enough. Against the low block teams, I would probably have to play Trent. In games where he may not need Walker's pace as much. He looked good in the last 15 minutes against Iceland, 20 minutes against Iceland.
He did.
But I think generally, Ollie, what you said is probably it's got to be the way to go. I would have preferred maybe against a lot of the better sides to bench Palmer to start a game, play Bellingham further forward and have a bit of a stronger physical presence, either a Gallagher or a Curtis Jones at the eight, to try and win the midfield battle. Because against Iceland, our midfield looks so poor.
Bellingham, who's one of the most athletic, mentally tough players who can control most games, you take him out of the centre of the park to control the game better.
I'm talking about a player that can intercept the pass, put in a tackle. Bellingham is athletic, agile, can skip past the player, bit of skill, trickery. I'm talking about trying to outfight and bulldog a midfield when we need it. Yeah. And I would rather have a workhorse. I'd rather have a Jones or a Gallagher start the game.
Bellingham is that with like amazing quality. Gallagher's the exact same without quality.
I don't think Bellingham has got the defensive ability for that. And also, I don't back Foden in the 10 role because he hasn't done it for England at all. So I would go, my change would probably be putting Bellingham in 10, putting Foden probably out on the left just to keep him in the team. But if you don't do it, then you've got options coming on, Gordon, people like that. And then, to be honest with you, I think against someone like Serbia, I think you can probably risk playing Trent in midfield. Who have we got as favourites? Go on, Ollie. Who's your favourites?
I'm still back in England.
Yeah?
You play the team that I said you're winning a tournament.
Okay. That's confidence. I like that. What about you, Billy? Who's your favourite?
I can't look past France, personally. I think they got the squad, the depth, players off the bench, they got the know-how. I just think they're just... Don't get me wrong, I think there's about five or six teams that could win it. You've got to have a lot of luck, you've got to have a lot of things go your way. But in terms of percentage to win the tournament before it begins, I can't see how France aren't number one. I really can't. Even if you could say England maybe have better... Overall, our attacking sort of talent might be better. Even that's contentious. But defensively, France defensively are so much better. So much better. We're talking about playing Konsa left back. They have Theo Hernandez. We're talking about playing Dunk centre back. Saliba can't make it. That's kind of the level. And I just think you can't look past them. Portugal, I've got second. Germany third, us fourth.
Traitor.
That's fair. That's fair. I've actually gone, funnily enough, there's not one anyone's mentioned, but I've actually gone for Spain.
I think they're a bit past their best, aren't they?
I think the young players they got coming through are going to surprise a few people.
Yeah.
That's just the way I look at it. I think the way that they play with their energy, if teams can match their energy and stop them from scoring, they'll beat them. But I think that's a big if.
Well, they've got Italy in their group and Croatia, and if they can kind of come out best out of them three, that's a good sign.
Well, Italy, I mean, they're not it, and Croatia.
I mean, you two are saying,
on Modric.
You two are saying England are rubbish, and Italy, we turned over Italy twice in the qualifying. So yeah,
saying England are rubbish.
I'm not saying England are rubbish.
That's all we have time for. So I'll end by saying they think it's all over, but it starts this week. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
See you later.
Hello.